Welcome to worship. Good to be with you guys today. Good to be with those that are joining in online. Wherever we come for the same reason, and that is to lift high the name of our God, to worship Him, to remember who He is, and therefore remember who we are, to rest in His promises so our hearts may be encouraged, so we may put our feet back on the path that leads to life. We need to hear these stories and gather in these places week after week after week, so we remember what's true. And I'm glad to be in this place to remember it with you. So we prepare our hearts for worship. Hear these words from Psalm 66. This comes from the Message version. All together now, applause for God. Sing songs to the tune of His glory. Set glory to the rhythms of His praise. Say of God, we've never seen anything like Him. When your enemies see you in action, they slink off like scolded dogs. The whole earth falls to its knees. It worships you, sings to you, can't stop enjoying your name and fame. Take a good look at God's wonders. They'll take your breath away. He converted sea to dry land. Travelers crossed the river on foot. Now, isn't that cause for a song? Would you pray with me? Father God, we join your people around the world in proclaiming your goodness today. We lift up our voices along with the saints and the angels around your throne, declaring that you are worthy of our worship. Even more, you're worthy of our very lives. So God, we've come to this place to step aside from everything else, so that we might encounter you. We believe, O God, that as your people gather, this is indeed holy ground. You are here. You are moving in our midst. There's something on your heart that you want us to hear. And we've come to be open to that very thing, to your love, to your voice, to your touch. And so would you move freely in this place as your people turn our hearts to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. We are continuing in our series on what our unique calling is. And today, it's our call to be a people who celebrate. So I'm not going to read all of Luke 15, but we've got three different stories here. A shepherd who lost some sheep, a lady who lost some coins, and a father whose son ran far away. We're going to catch the second half of each of those stories. So starting in verse 5, the shepherd who found his sheep. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then when the woman who's lost her coin finds it in verse 9, when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I lost." Just so I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And this father, when his son comes back home, verse 22, but the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. And while the party goes on, the older son sits outside and complains that it's not a party for him. Verse 31, then the father said to him, the older son, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Let's pray together. Father God, we celebrate the gift of turning to your word knowing that you are a good Father who loves nothing more than to speak to the hearts of your children. We celebrate that you are a God who wants to be known, makes yourself known. We celebrate that your Spirit is moving already in this place, and that we have invitation right here and now to encounter the living God. We celebrate, oh God. We celebrate in our own lives this morning the ways that you have saved us and the ways you are still saving us. The ways you have found us, even when we hide really, really well. And the ways you're still finding us. So, Father, as we turn to your word, we ask you once again to help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about how much we learn from our dogs? Now, I don't want to get put in this label as that girl that has no kids so talks about her dog all the time. And I know that I just talked about my dog last week. But I have to think about my dog this week because we learn so much from our dogs. Anybody have a dog? You learned a little something from it? Yeah, we got a lot of dog people here. I knew this was the best place. And so my dog, she sleeps under my bed every night, but she's kind of lazy. She fits just fine, but she's lazy. And so she always stops with her bottom hanging out every single night. So there she is right under me, her bottom and tail hanging out. Every morning, first second my foot hits the floor, the first thing I see is her little tail starts wagging and wagging. She's already, no matter how early it is, it's not usually that early, so excited that we get to like do this day together again. Every morning celebrating the new day. Most days she gets to come down to work with me. She hates Sundays. It's her least favorite day. She knows when I'm actually getting dressed up and she just pouts all morning. But the other days she knows that she probably gets to come to work with me. And you would think in a dog's life, those words, "Do you want to go to church?" were like the human equivalent of "You have won the lottery." All morning, she follows me from room to room, place to place, with that look in her eyes, like, "Just say the words, Mom, just say the words. Are we going to church or not?" And the second I say, "All right, Charlie, you ready to go to church?" she starts spinning around in circles and jumping up and down and runs to the door. And the second I open it, she takes off down the dirt road, ready to beat me to this place where she gets endless belly rubs and treats all day. She loves coming to church, and it's like every morning of the week, she's just saying, "Do we get to do it again? Do we get to do it again? Can we please just go to church?" And she celebrates every single walk and every single meal and every single chipmunk. She's never caught a single one, but she celebrates every chance to try it again. Charlie knows how to celebrate. And I believe that God put that in her because she's one of his creations. But did you know that God put really that same spirit of celebration in you too? We were created, called to celebrate. What's the last thing that you celebrated? It doesn't have to be a big thing. Just the last thing that you did your own little happy dance to, even if it was just you in your own room. The last thing that you just had to pick up the phone and call someone and tell them about. The last thing you just made a toast to. What's the last thing you celebrated? Anybody actually want to say, what are you celebrating these days? You got a job back. That's a good celebration. Yeah, what are you celebrating? Your daughter got her own place. Awesome. What did you say, Gabriel?
We got married.
You got married. Big celebration. Yeah. Good life stuff. What are you celebrating? Halloween is coming. We love holidays. What are you celebrating?
I am celebrating that God committed to call her daughter.
Yeah, celebrating our team's winning. Yeah, it doesn't have to be big. We are called to celebrate. Some of us are celebrating the rain is back. Some of us are celebrating that our team is undefeated. Some of us that we get to worship inside again. Some of us that we got to eat a really good meal. That we survived another week of homeschool. It doesn't matter. Just celebrate. It is our calling. We are called, created to celebrate. So the question this morning for our hearts is, how are we doing with that? You see, the whole thing starts in Genesis 1. God is creating everything. And at the end of each day, you remember what he does? He pauses from his work to look at what he's accomplished that day and to just sit back and say, oh, this is good. A little celebration to end the day. And on the seventh day, remember what happens then? God stops everything just to sit back and to rest and to enjoy all the beauty of everything that he has made. Our Creator took the time from the very beginning of how he put things together to slow down, to stop, and to smell the roses, to say, this is good, in a spirit of celebration. And we as his children are called to do the same. This morning, if you would ask your heart, when's the last time you let yourself step out of the rat race for at least maybe even 30 seconds just to look at some beauty in your midst and say to yourself, wow, this is good. Thursday afternoon, I was wrapping up for the day down here, getting all my stuff ready for the weekend, thinking about small group later that night between going to the grocery store and getting food to cook and getting to my house to cook. I ran back down to my office really fast to grab some stuff, and I found on my desk this pile of things. Found this necklace. Is this the one you made, Faith? No. Found this necklace. It might have been Kennedy. Found this pumpkin. Is this the one you made? That's the one you made. Found this pumpkin of beads, and I found this sweet little graph smiley face. And I had to stop and just look at these because these are all three crafts given to me by kids that I didn't even know a month ago. Children that are here in this place in this really strange season, 4 days a week, all day long, doing their education, but also getting a hint of this Jesus who loves them through these grown-ups who are showing up to love them as they learn. And in the midst of this Thursday of just running from here and running to there, I had to just stop in my office and hold these little crafts and just say, wow, God, this is good. This is so good. My heart celebrated these little necklaces and pumpkins made of beads. You see, we're called to slow down. Slow down enough to see God's goodness in our midst and to celebrate it. In 2 Samuel 6, the celebration continues. David is king, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is the actual place that the presence of God dwelt here on earth. And he's bringing it back to dwell among the people of God. It's kind of a big deal. And as the Ark makes its way into Jerusalem, David celebrates every step of the way. 2 Samuel 6, verse 4 says, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. The end of this day, his wife Michal criticizes David for looking so foolish with all that dancing in the street stuff. She's mad at him for taking off his kingly vestments and dancing like he was just one of the common folks. She says, you're a king, you're supposed to know better. In David's response to his wife, he says, I will celebrate before the Lord. Says, just wait, Michal, I will become even more undignified than this. celebrating my Lord. You see, David was so moved by the gift of God's presence being with his people again that at least for a moment, he didn't care what anyone else thought. All he could do was dance and sing and cry and celebrate with all his might. Not just any dancing, undignified dancing. So moved by the gift of God's presence in his midst. Would you ask your heart this morning, when's the last time you stopped everything and threw a dance party? And the presence of your Lord, not just any dance party, in the presence of the Lord. When's the last time? I don't even know for me. When's the last time you let yourself look really silly, being overtaken by celebration, just because you realized that God was actually with you? And that's a big deal. I remember seeing those videos from the 80s when Michael Jackson would have a concert. Remember these? And he would come on stage, and all of these women would literally faint at the sight of Michael Jackson. Just this idea of being in his presence, they would pass out. Like right there, it just blew my mind as a kid. Just overcome with this idea of being in the same room as Michael Jackson. Yet we can stand in the presence of the living God every moment of every day and not be moved at all when people are fainting for Michael Jackson. What's with that? You see, we don't have to carry around an ark to have God with us. His Spirit is with us, always, everywhere. And you know, I just really think, and I've prayed about this, and I think it's true, I just think that Christians need a whole lot more dance parties. And I can say that in a Baptist church even. I grew up in this Baptist denomination, Southern Baptist, that said you couldn't dance. Where did that come from? Our story is full of dancing. And you see, the world, they look at Christians and they think that we are like the most uptight, I made up this word, unfun people around. Where does that come from? Seems we've forgotten the pure joy of getting to live in the presence of the living God. We must throw better dance parties because God is with us. And isn't that worth celebrating with everything we've got? When's the last time you threw a dance party in the presence of the living God? Because it's still good news that he's with us. I don't even know how some of us are asleep right now. This is a really big deal, but that's okay. He's with us. His grace is good even when we're tired in his presence. Luke 15, Jesus tells three stories about lost things. A sheep and a coin and a son. And each of these stories, when the lost thing is found, the shepherd and the coin's owner and the father, they all share one response. Did you see what it was? They all call everyone that they know and they celebrate. You see, Jesus shares the father's heart of celebration. Every single time that God's grace wins, every single time that a lost soul meets its Savior, every single time there is reason for a party. About that woman with the coin, Jesus says when she finds it, she calls all her friends and neighbors together, says, "Rejoice with me, I found my coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. 7 billion plus people in the world, over one, their celebration in the presence of God. We are created to join the heart of Jesus and the angels in celebrating every time God's grace wins the day. Every single time a lost person is found, every time a sinner is redeemed, we celebrate not just when it's us, anytime. Every single time that we are spared from something that should have harmed us, we celebrate. Every single time we face our rebellion, and encounter on the other side the unconditional love of Jesus. We must celebrate every single time that God's grace catches you. Stop in your tracks and pay attention to that. Because what that is God calling his friends to say, there's a celebration party going down. My grace just won again. Would you come and join us? Heaven comes to earth as we celebrate God's grace breaking through. I remember several Easters ago, it was one of my favorite moments in this church. If you know, on Easter, we have the cross right here, and it has all the fresh flowers on it, and it's beautiful. People bring flowers and add to it. Probably 3-4 years ago, my friend Tammy, she was new to the faith, and she came up to me after Easter morning service, and she said, "Tell me again about what these flowers on the cross mean." And I said, "Well, Tammy, remember, she had been here for Good Friday service, and she had been here for the Thursday prayer stations. I said, remember on Thursday, as you named your different sins and you put them on that cross with red ribbons. And remember Friday night, it was just covered in those red ribbons, all of us acknowledging that Jesus suffered, died for us." And I said, the cross on Friday night was this symbol of destruction and death and despair. And I said, but we remember this Sunday morning, he came back to life. All of this was forgiven. Resurrection, we had flowers to change the story and say, no, this is beautiful. This is a picture of life. Standing right here on Easter morning, Tammy just began to cry. And she said, "Jamie, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. I got to go tell Samantha so she can know it too." And she had just taught Sunday school that day. I was like, what did she just teach? I don't know. But it came to life. The grace of Jesus, the most beautiful thing she had ever heard. And you know what? I've been hearing this story for 36 years, and I can tell you that God's grace through Jesus is still the best thing I've ever heard. And that I might find reason to celebrate that, not on Easter Sunday, but every single day. As I see others come alive to it. Throwing parties left and right. We are called to celebrate God's grace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle Paul is sitting in prison, and he writes these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Even in prison, celebrating who God is. Who God is in him. Regardless of circumstances, there is a call to celebrate. And if you know anything about the Jewish calendar is marked by frequent celebrations. One is every single week. Sabbath is celebrated. It's not an option. It's celebrated. That one day a week, family and friends cease any kind of toil and they come together and they spend a full 24 hours feasting and resting and worshiping and playing games and simply enjoying life together in the presence of God. And on those days, no matter what happened that week, every 7 days, the people of God, since the giving of the Ten Commandments, have come together simply to celebrate and enjoy God. Then there's the Jewish festival of booths. That's every single year they come together and celebrate harvest. And they remember those years they were living in tents in the Sinai before arriving in their new home. In this festival every year, big old parties break out in Jewish families. Then there's Hanukkah. If you know Hanukkah, it's 8 days and 8 nights. We only get one Christmas, kind of Christmas Eve, kind of 1.5. But they get 8 days, a celebration of freedom from oppression, of light, of defeating darkness. More than a week, every single year, they set it aside to remember and to celebrate. Then they've got Purim. This is a yearly festival in which the Jewish people remember being spared from a plot to destroy them. And on Purim, there are parades, and there's costumes, and there's masks, and there's dancing, and feasting, and gifts. They only have one command, and that is to party. And it's to party hard. They're actually even encouraged to get intoxicated. Kind of crazy, but they're told on this day, you party hard. Because it says God saved his people when all odds were against them. The only response to that, we must celebrate. And then there's Shavuot. And that's a yearly celebration of the gift of Torah, God's word. When's the last time we had a full-out party for the Bible? It's a big deal. I tell you, I still believe my theory. Christians need to throw better parties. We are surrounded by good news and a good God. Why are we known by so many things? But being the best party animals of them all never makes the list. What's up with that? Over and over throughout the year, God calls his people back to celebration. Over and over, no matter what's on the news, no matter what crisis is at home, God's people are called to come back to the truest story. To remember again what God has done and to celebrate it, because perhaps God is doing it again. Perhaps he's got more to do even still. Us Christians, we've got Christmas and Easter, but might we want to up our remembering God celebrations to more than twice a year? I mean, why not? We could all use a few more parties celebrating some good news in our world that is so addicted to bad news. What's our next party? Will you be the host? What will we be celebrating that God has done? Let's throw bigger and better parties to remember what's for real. We're called to celebrate. Celebrate God's goodness and beauty, to celebrate the gift of God's presence with us, to celebrate our salvation in Jesus, to celebrate by remembering all that God's done. We are called to celebrate, and the good news is we like to celebrate. It's fun. Our hearts long for it. So then the final question this morning is, if we like it and if we're called to it, then why do we miss out on the party so often? Why don't we do it? Several reasons. Michal, David's wife, she missed out on the party in the streets because of one thing, her ego, her pride. She thought the king was too good, too dignified to lose himself at a party. David is dancing with commoners, not caring in the least about the kingly robe that he stashed blocks away. He only danced for one reason, and that was to lift high the name of God. But Michal missed out because she was afraid of perceptions. They will think I'm just a commoner like them. Pride, ego can keep us from the party. If it's not about us, if it doesn't make us look good, then we're not interested. Guess what? The party goes on without us. The older brother in Luke 15, he misses out on the party because he has falsely believed that he and his brother are in competition for dad. He fears that there's not enough love from dad, not enough attention from dad, not enough inheritance from dad to go around. And so he has to work for what he wants and take so his brother can't have. And when he finds out there's a big party going on for brother, he loses his mind. And he pouts on the front porch and says, Dad, I did all the things that I should have done to earn your love. And yet you go and throw a party for this rebellious son of yours. It's not fair. And his dad's response, my son, you have always been with me. What I have has always been yours. There's enough. There's enough love, enough attention, enough care for all of my children. You're not in competition with your brother. Come to the party. There is enough joy for us all. You see, when we believe the lies that we must compete for the spotlight, we must compete for friends, compete for ministries, compete for love, compete for worth, for acceptance, then we stand on the porch pouting at other people's parties. Afraid that a party for them means that there's no party for us. And all the while, our God is saying, this party is good for all. Come on in. Stuck in the spirit of competition, we stay outside. The party goes on without us. Sometimes we miss the party because we feel like we have to keep producing. We can't let up for a second or we're going to get behind. The bills keep coming. Someone's got to do it. In Genesis 1, the work had to pause for the goodness to be enjoyed. And here's the truth, my friends. You were not created to work, work, work. You were not created to run, run, run until you've got nothing left to give. You were created to live with some breathing room in your life. You were. This culture did not create you. Your God created you. You were created to give yourself space to actually have time to see what is good so you can enjoy it rather than just fly by it at 60 miles per hour. You see, we work ourselves to death, constantly putting off celebration until we feel a little bit less busy producing. And we wait till we're 65 to start celebrating. And we've missed 45 years of parties that have gone on without us. We miss the party when we amount God's grace to coincidence. That lady who found her coin, she could have just said, of course it was in the couch cushion. I should have looked there first. That's where all the coins end up. The shepherd who finds his sheep, he could have said, what luck. I finally looked behind the right rock. That day that we just need some extra encouragement and a friend calls to give it. Just say, what good timing. What a coincidence. Those nights when you're feeling totally depleted as a parent and you get that message that soccer practice is canceled. A surprise night just when you needed it. What a coincidence. You see, my friends, God's grace is literally all around us. Those little tender ways that he cares for our hearts, they're everywhere. But too often we take these graces as just happenstance. We never stop to consider, maybe our good God led us to that coin or that sheep. Maybe God, knowing our hearts, nudged that friend to call us. And maybe God actually thought he would surprise us with a night at home. Maybe he cares about trivial things. The next time you catch yourself calling something a coincidence, just ask yourself for a moment, or could it be a gift of God's grace? And if it's the latter, always take time to celebrate God's grace. Finally, we miss the celebration when we make a habit of complaining. In Philippians 4, Paul had plenty he could have complained about. My bed mat's hard, the food is bland, there's a drip in my cell, the heat doesn't work, my cellmate is a drag, the guards are mean. He could have gone on and on. Philippians could have had 5 chapters. We can throw out our complaints too. I'm too tired, I'm too bored, I'm too fat, I'm too broke. People are mean, drivers are crazy, cashiers are slow, spiders are everywhere right now, dishes never stay clean, etc. You fill in your own blanks, you know it. Here's the deal. Paul's sitting in a prison cell and he never names a complaint in 4 chapters. In that very same letter, he says he's learned to be content in all circumstances. In that same letter, he gives thanks to the church for their care for him. In that same letter, he says, I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. It's a letter of joy. It's a letter of celebration penned from a cold, wet prison cell. You see, we miss the celebration when we become masters in the art of complaint. And all that does is blind our eyes and numb our hearts to the joy of the Lord right here in front of us. Complain or come to the party. Jesus calls us to the party. This morning, you all should have gotten a candle as you walked in. If you didn't, on your way out, you can grab one. These are not just any candle. This is a candle made specifically for celebrations. That's what it's for. Here's the challenge. Take this candle with you from this place this morning. And for the next 7 days, find as many excuses as possible to light it up and celebrate. As many as possible. Every time that there's some reason to celebrate, big or small, light it up. And with that candle lit, stand on holy ground for just a moment at least and join in God's joyful party. Take a picture if you want and share it with us so we can join the celebration too. All week long, could we be a people that light a whole bunch of celebration candles, counting each one as our gift of worship, celebrating with each one the beauty and goodness and grace and nearness of God right here with us? Could we come back next week with just a little tiny nub of a candle left? Because there was so much celebration this week that this one little pillar could hardly even contain it. That's it. That's our call for the week. Isn't it good? There's no way to be a boring Christian when this is your call for the week. Burn up this candle in celebration. There's a party going on, my friends. Let's join in. Would you pray with me? Father God, it is a gift to get to celebrate you. That we get to walk in this world, no matter what circumstances are real in our lives right now, with reason to celebrate. Thank you. That your story is good news. And your story is the story that wins any election, any crisis in our life. Your story is good news and it wins. So we have reason to celebrate. Your story is a story of grace and nearness and love. We have reason to celebrate. And so, God, this week, could we light up our homes and our towns with these little candles flickering everywhere we go, recognizing your goodness and joining the angels around the throne of Jesus, joining the party, celebrating too. Help us not miss it. Out of these spirits of competition or ego or busyness or complaint. Free us from those things, oh God, so we can celebrate you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.